Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 7. Genesis, chapter 7. We'll read verses 1 through 5 together. We'll read this passage responsively. Genesis, chapter 7, verses 1 through 5. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female, of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Let's finish on verse 5 together, ready? And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. I'll read verse 11 to you. You need not read it aloud. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this place. Thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for a preacher that is filled with that Holy Spirit. And Father, please help us. Father, our preacher has something very urgent for us, and may we get it. Lord, we don't know how we could change the lives of people, not just in this room, but all over this country and all over this world. Father, please, in Jesus' name, amen, and you may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to ask that we do something that is somewhat uncommon, and I'm sad to say that. But I'm going to ask us to take our eyes off of ourselves for a little while. Somehow, I think God is so disappointed in the human race because I don't think He intended us to be so self-centered. So today, I'll ask that we look around us. Take a moment and see that somebody else has a heartache. The passage of Scripture that we read earlier, we see the very first natural disaster, the flood. We read from Genesis chapter 7, the flood of all floods. Only a handful of survivors. Who's not heard of the story of Noah's Ark and the great flood that came at that time to the human race? God predicts a flood, not a flood where the waters will rise to 28 feet, but where the waters will rise to the point that not even the mountaintops could be seen. No helicopters to send rescue. No life rafts. No team of extra well-prepared folks to salvage what remained. Oh, I realize what brought on the flood, but I want you to know that if you would take just a moment and think about that disaster. You know, even if for some reason difficulty comes to someone, and even if it is the result of their own doing, they still hurt. They still suffer pain. You think about it now. Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives were the only ones that escaped that flood. Everything lost. Everything. Every human being on the face of the earth lost everything except for the people that climbed into one boat. What a natural disaster. Can you imagine when finally the water went down and that boat called the Ark rested and the door popped open? Maybe the dead carcasses of all the animals. Two of every kind of animal made it onto the Ark. Can you imagine the loss and the devastation? There has been, through the ages, many disasters that affect mankind in terrible ways. For instance, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, where a whole city was destroyed. You say, but wait, Brother Owens, that there was wickedness in that city. Yes, I know that. But, you know, it doesn't take much that even when the result of wickedness is pain, I don't know about you, but there's a part of me that says, oh, I know they were wrong. The pain, it grasps my attention. There's a story in 2 Samuel chapter 24 where pestilence came upon Israel and 70,000 people died. What a disaster. What a disaster. In Numbers chapter 16, the story of a man named Korah and a rebellion took place. But the disaster was 14,700 people fell into the earth like an earthquake. The earth opened up and all those people fell in. You say, but they were rebellious. I understand that. But they died. I don't know about you, but that bothers me. You take the New Testament, the story. You know, when Jesus Christ was born, there was a wicked king. His name was Herod. He didn't want Jesus Christ to grow up and become the king of Israel because Herod wanted to sit on that throne, and he felt like this boy child that had been born was a threat to his throne. So he had all the children under the age of two in all of Bethlehem and all the coasts of Bethlehem slaughtered. What a disaster. I think sometimes we hear the stories of the Bible and we don't realize they're real. People have real feelings and they bleed real blood and they have real broken hearts. A whole bunch of people in Bible times cried themselves to sleep at night. Whether they were right or wrong in their behavior, I'm talking about the broken heart of man that comes in this life. Other disasters. Disasters of all kinds. May the 25th of 1979 in Chicago, Illinois. An American airline DC-10 crashed and 272 people died. What a disaster. June the 9th of 1972 in Rapid City, North Dakota, a flood hit and 237 people passed away. What a disaster. April the 18th of 1906 in San Francisco, California, an earthquake came and 500 people died as a result of it. February 12th, 1925, in the state of Illinois, a tornado hit and 695 people passed on because of it. Today is September 11. Have you stopped to think? I did. I thought of some gal that woke up this morning and realized what day it was. And she looked at an empty spot at the breakfast table because her husband would not be there due to a terrible and a wicked disaster of September 11. Oh, and again, we face another disaster. What is that disaster? A hurricane that has been called Katrina. August the 28th of 2005. It hit our shores. It would be awful easy for us folks to ignore it, but I don't want us to. You say, but it's painful. I know. The only way you're going to learn to care is to look when people hurt. I'm sorry. God has His ways of tenderizing our hearts. If you ever want to be used of God, you may have to go through some tough times and face some tough things. And I beg of you, could you please turn your eyes upon somebody other than yourself today? Oh, the information about this hurricane, it gets outdated quickly. I've checked on a few statistics and forced myself to watch what goes on and listen to the news and read the newspaper. Some say a Category 4, some a Category 5 hurricane. Some say winds on land up to 175 miles per hour. In Louisiana, somewhere over 150,000 homes destroyed. They said almost a quarter of a million young people displaced from their schools. I don't know how many confirmed deaths. I've got the number 180 as a recent report. 90 million tons of sewage floating in the water that you see people wading in as you watch the news. The Pete Maravich basketball arena was turned into a makeshift hospital where 6,000 people were treated. 1,400 had to get prescriptions filled because, had they not, the lack of their medicine probably would have either allowed them to die or crippled them. 360,000 residents have applied for disaster relief funds. 270,000 from Louisiana, 70,000 from Mississippi, and 26,000 from Alabama. And here's the thing, though. It's out of your sight. You woke up this morning and you had your breakfast. We've had a great few days here at the conference. But they haven't had good days lately. My heart was tore so much in the last few days. I wanted all the ladies to have such a good time, and they did. But all the time, I would leave the platform, and I would go to my office, and I would think, there's an awful lot of people hurting awful bad out there. 78,000 barrels of oil mixed in and floating those waters down there that you see people wading through as they gather what's left of their belongings. Someone said that this will reduce the employment in that area by 400,000 jobs. This is what I fear. You won't lose your job, so who cares? Well, some dad's not going to have a job to feed his family. And I care about that. Katrina devastated 90,700 square miles of area. That is an area the size of the country of Britain. Waves measuring up to 28 feet high. I could not describe to you the horror that that must have brought upon people. 125-mile path of destruction. Someone said, listen to this. I read a story that just gripped my soul. They went into a nursing home where they were unable to evacuate everyone. 60 patients in that nursing home, and they found 32 dead senior citizens in one nursing home. Now, let me tell you something. That's somebody's grandma. Those were real human beings. That's somebody's grandpa. That's somebody's husband. That's somebody's wife. I just sat down and started thinking about things like this is spiritual, so you know. We need to stop and realize what's going on around us. I just sat down and I got to thinking. You know, you hear this statement, and this family lost it all. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? Well, someone lost a son. Or someone lost a daughter, someone lost a husband, someone lost a wife, someone lost a mom, a dad, someone lost a grandparent. Oh, the ultimate, the loss of life. Would you stop and think about it? See, here's the tough part. See, your husband's sitting by you, or your wife's sitting by you, or you'll talk to your son or daughter on the phone later today, or they're in junior church, and many of you, your grandparents are still alive, but theirs are not. Theirs are not. I don't want to be silly, but in a moment I'm going to. I think of the people that lost their pets. You know, there are some people who... A dog or a cat, that's virtually a loved one in their home. And they lost them by the thousands. Do any of you know the Brinklow's dog? Her name is Taffy. Taffy is a Chihuahua. Taffy looks like she swallowed a watermelon. This must be a crossbreed between a Chihuahua and a pig. I mean, I'm not kidding you. This thing, that dog's got to be that big around. A Chihuahua it comes running at you and you think, that poor animal swallowed a watermelon. I'm sure that her legs are at least 6 inches long, but you'd think they're only 2 inches long because you can't see any leg. Her belly drags the ground when she walks. I've seen it. Now, Kathy, if she were in a flood, she'd float. Look like a submarine with ears. Now, I have a dog. We could drown her for all I care. It's Mrs. Owens' dog, you know, our protector, Pupcake. Our dog is so dumb. We walk in the house, and the first thing she does when she runs in, she starts running in circles and running into things. But let me tell you something. There are people who lost pets that meant the world to them. Think of all the important documents that were destroyed. Wedding licenses, birth certificates, death certificates, checkbooks, savings records, insurance documents, passports, contracts, deeds, wills. Think of the personal, sentimental items that are gone forever. Homes. Homes that were passed down through generations. And the security of your own home. Think of the wedding pictures. Gone. The wedding dress that was stored away. Maybe to be given to a daughter or a granddaughter. Gone. Home movies. Pictures. The kids growing up. Christmas. The first birthday. The family vacation, gone. Baby's first haircut. Baby's first pair of shoes. The ID bracelets that infants would have wore in the hospital, gone. Baby's first teeth, gone. Color sheets that grandmas and grandpas had hanging on their refrigerator from their grandchildren, they're gone. I have a treasure box at home. I keep all the letters and all the cards that Mrs. Owens gives me in it. It's just packed full. I have a whole treasure box. The thought of losing it, I'd hate it. Grandma, Mrs. Burris, I call her Mama May. She's my new adopted mama. May, the letters that you give me are now going in that box because they're precious to me. The thought of losing that? How about the things that when someone we love passes on and we want to grab a hold of something that belonged to them because it's so precious and it reminds us of them. Those people down there lost it. They lost it all. Mrs. Owens has her mama's Bible that means so much to her. My brother-in-law, Hans, when he passed away, they gave us their piano, and it sits in our living room. My wife plays on it every day and thinks about her brother that passed away this last year. Somebody down there, they lost that heirloom, that remembrance. Mrs. Hiles is here this morning. I have all the memos and all the letters Brother Hiles wrote to me. The thought of losing them, how devastating. How about those awards and accomplishments that, you know, we keep them around because they remind us that we made something happen with our lives. Young people, those trophies, the certificates of accomplishment, the degrees from hard work at college and training schools and medals. And for some of you young people, you'll be glad because report cards will be gone forever. Some of you men, you say, I'm not real sentimental, Brother Owens. Well, they lost all their tools. Are we talking your language now? Those saws and drills and all those things that are valuable to us. A lifetime of working to build up a toolbox. Their guns. Yeah, I knew there'd be a groan there. Their guns. many of them stolen or soiled or ruined. Where's Mrs. Montgomery? Miss Montgomery, I have a 50 caliber black powder rifle Brother Ray gave me as a gift. I'd hate to lose it. I'd hate to lose it. Now, I can't hit a thing with that gun. But because it came to me from somebody that loved me and somebody that I loved. You men, some of you have hanging on your wall mounted trophy bucks, elk, antelope, bear, a big bass that you caught. It's all gone. It's all gone for some of these people. I have my dad's Bible that means so much to me. I can't imagine losing it. Those of you that are collectors, people that have their, you know, their doll collections or baseball card collections or whatever it was, old books. I was thinking about Tom Williamson and his collection of old books. All gone. Oh, we're talking about antiques and furniture and clothing. Huh? I wish we'd just slow down long enough to think about the fact that somebody else, they're having a tough day. It's going to be tough for a while. You say, well, what can we do? I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you what we can do. First of all, let me tell you this. We have called and checked on a bunch of churches in that area. I'll tell you a little bit of what I found out. I've made calls to every one of these churches, not my staff, though Brother Alan Donnelly has checked on these people too, evangelist here in our church. I called every one of these churches personally. This week we had a busy week, but I just decided, no matter how busy we were, that these pastors were going to know that I love them and that I was concerned about them. And I'm not done yet, but we're going to call some others. The Central Baptist Church of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, pastored by B.G. Buchanan. Some of you would know him. I called. I checked on them. They said, "Other ones, all's well. A lot of people are hurting, but all's well there." The Faith Baptist Church of Gulfport, Mississippi. Dan Carr is the pastor there. Their church suffered a lot of damage. 80% of their people lost everything. His Brother Carr's 86-year-old mother lost it all, her home and all. And one of Brother Carr's assistant pastors named Bob Kennedy lost his home, and they lost everything. The Gospel Light Baptist Church in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, Pastor Warren Johnson. They're well. A little damage here and there, but they're well. The Grace Independent Baptist Church of Ocean Springs, Mississippi, Pastor Ed Decker, a dear friend of mine. Their church has suffered some damage, and we're having a hard time getting communication through. When you call into that area, you get a lot of busy signals, you get a lot of recordings and things. The Grace Baptist Church of Marrero, Louisiana, Craig Foote is the pastor. They've got church damage, and we don't have all the report from all their members because they've not been able to gather all the information yet. Lighthouse Baptist Church of Theodore, Alabama, Pastor Randy Toole. There's a church has some damage, and they're going to need some correction. You say, Brother Owens, I don't know all these people, but they're people. They're people. Listen, I mean, look at this. We've got carpeting and air conditioning and lights and pews and a full house. And there are churches this morning that maybe didn't even get to meet because they have no place to meet. But well, these men, I know, they had church if they had to have it in the open air because they wouldn't let a hurricane stop them. But property destroyed, homes destroyed. They lost their pews and their songbooks and all of it. The Lighthouse Baptist Church in Sedell, Louisiana. Denny Winborn has church damage. The Temple Baptist Church of Gulfport, Mississippi. They lost their church, and we think the pastor lost his home. The Brian Baptist Church of Alberta, Alabama. Pastor Robert Evans. Everything seems to be well there. And there are others. There are others. Friends that we have not been able to make contact with. I have here an article from a paper. It has pictures of the Katrina disaster. It says descent into hell. Well, what they're doing is they're saying it's like hell there. Now, not really. Hell's far worse than that. But let me tell you something. For these people, it's probably the closest thing to hell on earth they could face. Just pictures of the pain, the loss, And I'm sure the fear, the insecurities that go along with something like this. I know even some of our church members on Wednesday night, I talked to two or three people, Dean Newcomb, one of our teenagers. She has an aunt and they've not been able to make contact with her and she lives down there. And Evan Barnes' dad lives down in the Mississippi area. And then Jimmy Lindsay has uncles and aunts that have lost their homes down in that area. Listen, I think the Bible teaches that you and I, as born-again Christians, are to love people. Love people. I'm going to make a few statements to you about what I think we ought to do. I really hope that we'll do it. We can't fix the problem, but we can do at least this. Point number one, we can at least care. Care. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. God cares for us. The least we could do is care for somebody else. Some of you that spent your week, you're all depressed about such minute things. It'd be a good idea for you to maybe put a smile on your face, thank God for what you have, and care about somebody that doesn't have what you have. Slow down and care for someone. Let me ask you a question. Hard-hearted one. When was the last time you shed a tear for someone other than yourself or your immediate family? Maybe some of you ought to just ask God to tenderize your heart enough that you can care. If you sit there bored stiff with what's going on in this auditorium right now, there's something wrong with your heart. Something awful cold and hard about it. If you just going to keep looking at your watch saying, when are we getting out of here? This is not what I expected. Well, God knows, what do you want? We have a bunch of hurting people. What's life really all about? What's it really all about? Somebody here needs to hit this altar today and say, God, give me some tears for people. Get your eyes off yourself. I ask God over and over again to help me to hurt with people. You say, Brother Owens, that doesn't sound like a good thing to ask. Well, look, we're all going to heaven someday. It's going to be wonderful. There'll be no hurt up there. While we're here, why don't we do something good with our lives? Nobody wants to hurt alone. Let's hurt with them. Hurt for them. Care for them. Thinking just yesterday, I was thinking, I wanted so desperately, I just wish I could have put a meal in front of somebody yesterday that needed a meal from down there. And we thought, well, there's no way we could do that today. But so we sent meals up to the rescue mission here in town, great meals, and everybody in the place got a wonderful meal to eat. Because I thought, well, I might not be able to feed somebody from Louisiana today, but we are going to feed about 100 people and feed them right and feed them well. We needed an outlet for the desire to help hurting people. Care. You can care. So, Brother Owens, I can't solve the problem. You can care. Number two, this sounds so simple, but it's so big. You could pray. You could pray. Colossians 4:12 says that we should labor fervently in prayer. No, you may not be able to jump on a plane and fly to Louisiana and help, but you could. You don't have to jump, but you could fall to your knees. You could actually spend some time praying for a human being that you don't even know. Somebody needs someone to go to God on their behalf and say, Lord, there's a mama hurting right now. Comfort her, please. Let this prayer make a difference in her life. You may not be able to physically help someone labor on their home, but you can pray that while they're rebuilding, they're safe while they labor. I recommend that every family in this church for many weeks to come, every time you bow your head at your table to pray over the food you're about to eat, that you pray that the people in that part of the country have food too. Teachers at Martinsburg Christian Academy, let's remind our students. There are people that are hurting. And let's pray for them. At our men's prayer meeting, we've already started this. At our men's prayer meeting, we're praying for the people that are going through this disaster. Hey, pray for them like you would want someone to pray for you if you just lost it all. Well, that's when it becomes serious. That's when we want people to take it seriously. Well, it is not us today, but it may be tomorrow. I would invest myself in praying for other people. Well, I can't go down there and do anything. That does not release you from the responsibility of being a decent Christian and doing what you can. What can I do? You can at least care. You can at least pray. I think it would be good that we remind people that God is good. In times like these, people that don't know God, they don't understand. Well, you know God. On His behalf, remind people that God is good. Psalm 27, verse 13, it said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord and the land of the living. Folks, God is good. Yeah, God is good. When? All the time. Some may doubt it, but God is good. Say, how in the world, Brother Owens, do you handle a doubter? How do you handle someone that doubts the goodness of God? Well, I can tell you this. We may not understand everything that happens in life, but we do understand the Bible says God is good. So what we do not understand in life, we may not spend a lot of time explaining it, but we can explain the Bible says God is good. And any time someone launches out to hurt, God is not out to hurt people. God loves people. So I'll tell you this. If somebody down there is being hurt, well, let's put credit where credit is due. It is the devil that hates people. It is the devil that is out to injure people. God's good. And we need to remember God is good. And we need to remind people that our God is a good God. So what can we do? We can care. We can pray. We can remind people that our God is a good God. Let me tell you what else we could do. We could hope and pray for revival in that area. Psalm 138, verse number 7, the Bible says this, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. You know something? You can thank God for some of the troubles that come into your life because those troubles sometimes are what bring you to God. Oh my, through the centuries have I watched difficulties in a nation bring a nation to God. Hey, there were all sorts of people turning to God during the Depression. You check back at World War I and World War II and find out how many people. There are no atheists in foxholes. When you begin to face death, you begin to realize there's a God and there's a heaven, and you want to make sure that you let that God take you to that heaven. Hope through these tough times that an area of the country that needs God will turn to God, and there'll be a revival of their dependence on God in New Orleans. I was speaking to Pastor Dan Carr, the pastor of the Faith Baptist Church of Gulfport, Mississippi. He said, Brother Owens, he said, we've got care packages ready at our church. Now, their church is a mess, and their people are just hurting so desperately. He said, let me tell you what my people are doing. He said, we've got all these care packages, and we've got truckload of gospel tracts and Bibles, and we're going out and telling everybody about Jesus Christ because everybody down here is so hopeless, and they don't know what to do and who to turn to and who to depend on, and we're telling everybody, turn to Jesus. Turn to Jesus. He said, there are people being saved and people realize that the church cares. Pray souls will be saved. Hey, pray the churches down there will fill up with people seeking the God of the universe. Let's hope the hurting in that part of the country realize there is a God, and is a God that loves them, and a God that cares, and a God that has the answer. The God that gave them everything they had is still alive and well. So what can we do? We can hope for revival. What can we do? We can remind the people of the goodness of God, and we can pray, and we can care. What else can we do? I think we could thank God for His watch care over you and me. I wish some of you would wake up, realize something. Stop and realize what you have. Psalm 126:7 says that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Folks, you have a reason to rise up and bless the God of the universe. Listen, they're hurting. I wish you would take just a moment and thank God for what you have. Stop and realize what God's done for you. Let another's loss cause you to be thankful for what you have. I do not rejoice in their loss, but I can take a moment and rejoice in the goodness of God and His kindness and His mercy and His gentleness that at this time has been shed on me and been shed on you. When you flip the electricity on at home today, and your lights work, and your air conditioner works, and your stove works, and your curling iron works, take a moment and say, thank God I have electricity. There's all sorts of people that don't right now. When you put that food in your mouth, when we leave here in a little while at the close of this service, could I recommend that you taste it? You thank God for every bite you swallow, because there's somebody trapped in a home in a flooded area in our country that may starve to death before this week is out. When you look in your closet and have a difficult time choosing what you'll wear to church tonight because there's so much, you might want to think of some lady who had as nice, if not nicer, wardrobe than you, and it's all soiled with sewage and oil and gone. Probably the clothes on her back do not even belong to her. You go home and glance at a picture hanging on your wall today and you think, boy, I remember when we had that picture taken. Think of the people that do not have one picture of any event in their life left. Some of you need to glance at your marriage certificate and be reminded of the vows that you took and what that certificate means to you, and then realize there's somebody that lost their certificate. When you go home to your house, whether it's a mobile home or a rental home or whatever it is, thank God that you're not living in a football stadium with thousands of other people. Those of you that sit by brother, sister, mom, dad, won't you take a moment and thank God they're alive. Everyone that goes to work tomorrow, how dare you get up tomorrow morning and gripe about your job? How dare you? 400,000 people in one area without any job at all, and you'll gripe all day tomorrow at work. That is a sin against the God of the universe. Thank Him. Take a moment and just thank God for what He's done for you. Now, there are a few things that our church is doing. Yesterday, we had the East Coast Ladies Conference. All of you had given all the things that we gathered for that big old flea market out here. We designated all the money that came in on that flea market to go to the victims of Katrina. So you've already started. You didn't even necessarily know it. All of that is going to those people down there that are hurting. Yesterday, during our East Coast Ladies Conference, we called upon the 1,200 people that were here and rallied about 80-plus churches that were here and challenged them about doing something. We took an offering yesterday just for the victims of Katrina, and we'll be getting the money to those people down there that need it. Thirdly, we've placed a large collection tub back here on this back table back here. Angie Christman will be back there after the service. If you'd like to give some toward the people that are suffering, we'll make sure it gets there. And if you'll see it, the tub is about 3/4 way full, and I'm not talking about with pennies. So we'll take every penny. But I'm talking about there's probably nearly $2,000 in it already. If you write a check, you make it out to our church, we will rechannel the money. We're keeping in contact, number four, with churches that we know of in that area, and we're going to help those churches. We have thousands of dollars that we'll deliver to them. We're going to send a church to at least, we're going to send a check to at least each one of these churches that I mentioned earlier that suffered damage. We're going to send some money, and we're going to help them what we can. I can't fix everything. I decided a long time ago, I might not be able to fix everything that's broken, but I'll fix something that's broken. I can't feed every hungry mouth out there, but I could feed the, 100 of them that we fed yesterday. We get so lazy, we almost look for excuses. Well, the problem's so big, I can't fix it, so I won't vote. Well, I cast my vote. I will do what I can. I think God's looking for some people that will do what they can because He will provide them the wherewithal to do more. I'm flying down into Alabama, and I'll be encouraging some churches. And so I'll be gone. I'll fly out early Thursday morning. I'll be gone Thursday, Friday. I'll fly back in here late Saturday night. I'll be here next Sunday. But I'm gonna go help some friends. You say, who? I know some of them, but there's some I don't know, and I can't wait to get there and help somebody I don't even know. Man. We're going to send some care packages to some families who have lost some things. When you leave church today, if you look out here to the north end of the church, you'll see a 30-foot-long, nearly nude travel trailer. And we are going to find a family who has lost their home. And we are going to give that to them as a gift, a place where they could live and stay until they're able to rebuild. It's a Crossroads 30-foot travel trailer. It has a shower in it, has a separate restroom in it, a queen-size bed. It sleeps six. It's got a refrigerator, a stove. It's completely furnished with air conditioning, stereo system, and it is top of the line and in excellent condition. We'll take it. I can't house them all. If I could, I would. I would help them all, but we're going to do what we can. So we're going to deliver to someone that lost their home a place to live. And then it's theirs to do with what they choose. They go to rebuild their home and they want to sell it and get some money to help them rebuild their home, fine. They're going to need some place to live. There are people with no place to live. I want to ask you a question. If you would have died in the hurricane, where would have you spent your eternity? Have you trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? If you haven't, get saved. Trust Christ. You say, well, there's no hurricane going to hit us here. I'm sure there's somebody down there that said, oh, it's not going to hit. No, it may not be a hurricane. But death is sure. We're going to face it. Barring the Lord taking us out of this mess through the rapture, we're going to face it. I go down and I preach in this area. In that part of the country, I have meetings where I go when I preach. And one church that I'm sure the church is just a mess. Last time I was there in Ocean Springs, Mississippi, pastor said, boy, when those hurricanes come, it destroys our property. I remember this. Honey, I was down there, and you and I, we were apart for 2 or 3 days like we have been so many times when I travel and help people. But I know there were people saved at my meeting. You know what? If any of those people that were saved at that meeting lost their life, thank God I had the privilege to go down there and tell some people about Jesus Christ. It was worth it. And if you're not born again and you're in this building today, let me highly advise that you trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, because we don't know when some disaster will come to us. And you need to be saved to go to heaven. I'm not talking about joining a church. I'm talking about getting saved. talking about being baptized. You can get in the water all you want, and it won't save you. It's trusting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You say, I do good deeds. I'm glad you do, but good deeds won't get you to heaven. Salvation will get you to heaven. If you're here today and you're not saved, I want you to trust Christ as your Savior. So what could we do? What could we do? Well, we could care. We could pray. What else could we do? Well, if we care and we pray, and then we remind people of the goodness of God, we hope for revival for the hurting. We ought to take the time to thank God for His watch care over us. We then rally together and do what we can. And listen, I'm not coming to you, and I'm not going to put a great big push on a big offering. I'm not going to do that, just so you know. The travel trailer out here, all paid for, all taken care of. All the cash that's going down there, all taken care of. I'm going to beg a penny out of you. No way. Somebody has to beg a little generosity out of you. You sleep with yourself. Live with yourself. But I think there's some people that like to do a little something. There's even some of you, I'd advise, you need to pay your bills. You need to pay your bills. And I advise you keep yourself proper financially. Some of you might feel like you want to do something. And you have been already. We've already raised a bunch of money. Raised right here, this church, with the things we've been doing. If you want to throw a little money in that tub that's back there, I invite you to do so. Let's tell others about Jesus Christ, because we don't have any idea when a disaster may hit them. And you know what? A disaster can happen to one person. Is a disaster hundreds of deaths? Not in my opinion. A disaster is one death where the person had never trusted Christ. That is the greatest disaster a man can ever face, going into eternity without Jesus Christ as Savior. Let's all take the time to care. That's all. At the beginning of the sermon, I said, folks, I'm going to ask us to do something that Christians don't do as much as they should. And I think sometimes God is disappointed in the human race because He did not create us with the intent of our being so self-centered. I hope somehow I've reminded you of the importance of love and care for some people we don't even know. Again, if you're not saved here today, we invite you to the Savior. If you need to be saved, we want you to get saved. Some of you have been saved and you've never been baptized. You ought to follow the Lord in believer's baptism today. Let the church see. Hey, let people see this is the kind of church you would like to be associated with. Some, you need to join the church today. You need to yoke up with a congregation of people that care about others. Somebody here may need to rededicate your life. Maybe you've gotten away from God, so self-centered, you've got your life in a mess. Maybe you ought to rededicate your life. Say, God, I'm coming back to you today. I don't know. I don't know what you need. We're going to have an altar call here in just a few minutes. Let the Holy Spirit of God have His way in your life. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.